You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and many of you out there, I'm sure, are familiar with that song. We, you know, kind of give you a little time trip going as we go along. We've been talking about quotes today that have made America famous and things that we remembered as we go along. I've got a caller on the line right now, and I wanted to bring her on. And Joan, welcome to you to Veterans Radio. What's going on today? Joan?
Hello.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
I'm sitting in my car. Good job, guys. I'm out here at St. Sebastian's on the field with some guys and some little kids and girls and boys, and they've been doing some military maneuvers with a cadet from West Point.
Oh.
Where is that precisely?
You're breaking up.
Where is that precisely?
It's in Dearborn Heights. St. Sebastian's Church.
Okay.
And they're juniors from West Point, and they're doing a summer project. And the kids have been out here in the rain doing maneuvers, and I'm in my car because I was sort of breaking up. So, anyways.
So this is something that for anybody driving around Dearborn Heights, they might want to check it out, right?
Well, actually, the kids were registered from the church, and I'm here with two boys. My future grandchildren.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's interesting that West Point is doing that because we're going to be doing a program coming up at the end of August on West Point, and we've been invited to go to West Point right around Veterans Day. So we're really excited about that. And thanks, Joan, for calling in. We'll be talking to you again.
Okay, and I met a Korean veteran this morning.
Ah, well, write it down and send us who it is so we can talk to him.
Okay, it's the grandfather of the cadet that is doing this little project today.
Tell him to go to veteransradio.net.
Yep, there we go. We'll be talking
okay.
to him. Thanks, Joan.
What people we have at the academies.
What people we have at the... Oh, yes, amazing. I'm so excited to do these things about West Point and well, let's get our lines in here, and then we can kind of talk about some upcoming shows as we go along. I got another caller on the line. We'll be right with you. Hold on. You're on Veterans Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Dale. This is Vance.
Hi, Vance.
How you doing?
Excellent. Listen to this voice.
Great program today. Hey, I've got a quote I'm trying to make very famous.
Okay.
Dutch was the best dog that ever set foot in Vietnam. Hi, guys.
There's a dog handler for you.
Vance was a dog handler in Vietnam in the Air Force. And I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago we were talking, and Vance's son had sent us an email saying how important Dutch was to him.
We're
going to put that up on the wall here.
Now we're going to get calls from other dog handlers who know that their dog was the best dog that ever served in Vietnam. Great tragedy has come to us, and we are meeting it with the best that is in our country, with courage and concern for others, because this is America. This is who we are. President George W. Bush after 9/11.
You know, it's so important when you have a national tragedy, whatever it happens to be, that you have somebody that can put into words the feelings that the country has as a whole. And, you know, whatever, you can say what you will about George W. Bush, but you know, sometimes he hit it right on the head.
Oh, he did. You hear all the things that, you know, he stumbled over like me, but the guy did have some good thoughts. And, you know, that was after 9/11. On 9/12, there were no Republicans, no Democrats, no.
No, there weren't any.
Nope. There were Americans.
That's what happens. That's why we got to keep remembering that, folks out there. You know, if you don't agree with people, you don't yell at them. You just got to get it. Speaking of presidents, I'll try to do, you know.
In his voice.
This is from Barack Obama from his inaugural address, which you know, lighted up the world again for another generation, maybe. For as much as government can do and must do, it is ultimately the faith and determination of the American people upon which this nation relies. It is the kindness to take in a stranger when the levees break. The selflessness of workers who would rather cut their hours than see a friend lose their job, which sees us through our darkest hours. It is the firefighter's courage to storm a stairway filled with smoke, but also a parent's willingness to nurture a child that finally decides our fate.
America is made up of great individuals. I fell in love with the American people in Vietnam. I've told this to a lot of people. As terrible as things, the worse things got, the funnier people got. You ever notice that? I mean,
you got gallows humor.
Well, yeah, I know, but you can't tell the people back here and they stare at you like in disbelief, you know, you actually think that's funny.
But no, it's so important when we look back on our history, and I think it's so important for all of you out there, myself included, all of us included, to go back and find out how this country was started, how it began, where did we come from? How did we get to where we are and where are we going? If we don't help each other, if we just say yes, but, all that but means is that anything that preceded it is not important. I don't want to hear what people can't do anymore. It's like in the military. I don't hear what you, I don't want to hear what you can't do. I want to hear what you can do.
Amen.
Right. Let's start a love affair with this country again.
There we go. We'll do it if nobody else will.
Exactly. Maybe somebody else will pick up on it and somebody else. But this is a great country, and I'm tired of the cynicism and the negativeness, and it started back in the 60s, I believe.
You know, I was reading in a column the other day, and the columnist mentioned how that's why they hate America. I don't know who really, except for some really disenfranchised folks, really hate Americans. Let's get that straight.
Hmm? Well, I don't think
hate.
I think hate's a pretty powerful word. I think the thing is that they
exactly.
don't like the what's not liked is that we can do and say what we want to say, and they don't like that. They don't like the way that we treat our women as equals. They don't like the idea that any kid can become president of the United States. He doesn't. Barack Obama, George Bush, John Kennedy, Johnson. They didn't have to beat up everybody on the block to end up being, you know, physically beat them up. They beat them in fair and square elections. We chose
debates.
We listened to them argue about things. And again, during their arguments, how many times have we looked around the world and we've seen other legislatures, and this has happened, but not recently in America, where, you know, the legislators attack the podium or they attack each other or, you know, with samurai swords or this sword or that sword. We don't do that. We don't agree, and you're going to get in some really violent arguments. But at the end of the day, and I hate to use that terminology, but, you know, when that session is over, they go out and they have a beer and they say, how are we going to make this country better?
One of the great photographs, you just made me think, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill standing at a bar in New York City, in an Irish bar, raising a beer to each other.
You know, and it happens more than once. We don't get to see this. You know, if we want to argue with the media about what they don't do, what do these people do when they're not posturing for their electors or whoever it is that's voting to them? When they get together at the end of their session and they're in that cloakroom where everything is done in private and they say, how can we work this out? How can we settle this argument?
You know, what I got to thinking as I told the story about calling Colin Powell's office. What was he at the time, back during, before the Gulf War? But I called his office. I got his aide. Talked about the, when he faxed me the speech, it was handwritten. Colin Powell. I called back and I asked, did this man write his own speech? And he said, absolutely. The general writes everything that he says.
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, we've run out of time again right now. We've got, how much time have we got, Bob? Do I got 30 seconds or do I have a minute? I got a minute. All right.
Next week. Next week, we're going to do a program on Agent Orange. It's going to be very powerful, very informative. Got some top-notch people are going to be on.
There are many issues that we're going to be touching on in the next couple of weeks. It's so important. We're going to be talking about Agent Orange next week. Bob and Gary are going off to boot camp on the weekend of the 25th. So I will be here, and we'll be talking with the VSOs around the country, because we know, we talked about this earlier today, the budget cuts that are being made are affecting the people that need the help the most. And they've been cutting budgets in Michigan, they've been cutting them in California, and they've been cutting them everywhere else. I got to wrap up. I'm getting a signal right now. We want to thank you all so very much for listening to Veterans Radio. Until next week, you are dismissed.